Good morning, everyone. It is 10:02, January 6, 2023. We have a quorum present. We're going to call this special meeting to order. If you want to join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, moving right along to item number three, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the agenda for January 6, 2023 special meeting. Commissioner Yeoman, do you have any questions or comments about today's agenda?
No questions. Thank you, sir.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding the agenda for today's meeting? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to number four is public comment. Public comment will be at the beginning and end of each meeting. These comments should be limited to items not on today's agenda. That said, is there any public comment today? Not seeing any public comment. Move on to item number five. Discussion only. No action. The public comment will be taken. Committee and staff reports. As we do, we always start with the Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Cohen, do you have anything today?
Nothing today.
All right, thank you. Chief Lockhart, anything?
Nothing today, sir.
All right, Public Works Director Rosbicki, anything?
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners, County Manager. DA Jason Rosbicki, Public Works Director for the record. I just want to give you guys a storm update. At one point in time over the weekend, we were down one plot or down to one plot here in town. We had one got stuck out in the Highlands, almost rolled. We had to hire two heavy wreckers to come up to literally pick the truck up, bring it back out, and set it back out on the road. Had quite a bit of damage to it. We were able to get that fixed back on the road, but it's not 100%, but it's usable at this point in time. We had a small F-450 plow. Coil went out on the engine. It took a little while to get that. That is back on the road currently as well. So basically right now up here in town, we have 2.5 plows at best. We do have equipment, of course, readily available. But out at the industrial park, we ended up hitting 2 trench plates unmarked, one on Italy, which totaled our truck that we just got back from hitting a trench plate last season and totaling it. We hit another one with the International over on Wild Horse that broke the plow blade also, but the truck is still usable at this point in time. For how long, we don't know. So down at Tri, we're down to one plow right now. I may offend some folks, hopefully I don't right now, but unfortunately I get slammed with a lot of questions, you know, in the wintertime. There's a lot of armchair quarterbacks. They don't know how this town operates. They don't know what it entails to move all the snow. We start and keep clear of the main arteries. We fall back to the secondary streets after the main arteries are open and clear. We don't do driveways. Nobody in town does. Nobody in the whole area. Our job is to keep the roads open, safe, and passable. It's very frustrating when it comes to the wintertime. And everybody says, well, Backus didn't have to do this. Mike didn't do this. Well, Mike started trying to do the right thing and investing a lot of time, money, and research into trying to fix all these things that were just backburnered, pushed away, and just, you know, it's horrible. Now we're paying for everything 100-fold, more than what we ever should have had to, and it's hard trying to explain to people that, you know, it's growing pains, it sucks, but we have to deal with it. And in order to, you know, I'm so short-staffed right now, It's unreal. And it's been that way for a couple of years. We can't get anybody to apply to drive up here to work for us. And then when we do, they get freaked out and it doesn't work out. It's like I just lost one guy because he's like, whoa, it's too much snow. I'm a water operator. That's how we have to operate. Is everybody has to wear multiple hats, and it sucks, but we have to, because everything's been status quo. It can't be that way anymore. That's all I have to say right now, unless you guys got more questions, and I appreciate your time. You know, so one more thing I'm going to add.
Please.
I love this job. I love my position. I've been doing this for 15 years. Most of this community is like a family to me now. And I will not let them down. I haven't before, and I will not spend money or ask to spend money that isn't justified.
Thank you, Jason. No, I'm done. I'm going to go out of order here, but one, I understand how difficult it must be to come up here and say that. I know it's out of character for you. Mm-hmm. I know you come in, you get your job done, keep your head down. As somebody who is probably as close to your position as possible without being in public works, my heart goes out to you and your staff. I got to deal with it out in the Highlands. I don't know exactly what you're going through, but I can relate to the issues that you have to deal with. And I think most folks don't understand the amount of pressure and stress put on people when it comes to snow removal. It is a very tense time. We're out there on the roads when most people don't want to be on the roads, because it's dangerous. And we're tasked with doing something that, again, I think given the opportunity, most folks would balk at. Mm-hmm. One, thank you for explaining what actually is going on in public works, explaining the situation that you're in, being understaffed, then you throw in vehicle breakdowns. Things just don't get to happen like we would all like them to. So I, for one, just appreciate your candor and your honesty in explaining what exactly you have to deal with. Obviously, I can't speak for all the commissioners, but whatever we can do to help alleviate that pressure, I, for one, will fully support whatever we need to do as a county to keep good folks like you wanting to come to work, and the rest of the staff, as happy as possible. Whether it be getting equipment to make your job easier, like I said, whatever we can do, my heart goes out to you and your staff, because I know what you have to deal with. So thank you for opening up and just explaining to us and those that are listening what you had to go through this last storm and what it's like every winter. So
now,
thank you.
That's my whole career being here. My phone's always been on. I've always answered. Every vacation hasn't been a vacation. I was off, supposed to be off between Christmas and New Year's. I was in here plowing New Year's Eve night till 1 a.m, especially when we hit those trench plates. I will never ask my crew to do something I'm not willing to do. And I'm not with, I get out there and get dirty with them because I have to, and I want to, and I love this job and this community. We just need some understanding from some folks. Mm-hmm. And that would be greatly appreciated.
Heard loud and clear. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Jason?
No, I certainly agree with, and yes, I do have some questions. I agree with your comments 100%, Jay, and thank you for that. Jason, I'd be interested in a bit more detail. I can sense your frustration, and I apologize for that. We all have to deal with our lives with things that come at us from the side. And I know these snow events, they happen quickly. They happen overnight. Everybody would like to have it gone the next morning. And unfortunately, it's overwhelming at times. But I'd be curious from your perspective at this moment. I understand that you're concerned about some additional employees to help you, that you feel like you're understaffed. And certainly we should look at that with you. I'd like to, in the coming days, hear a bit more detail on how we might benefit you and make some good decisions. But I'd be curious, what are some of the other issues in the county other than personnel that you would like to see us address specifically? Are you prepared this morning to kind of address some detail?
Yeah, pretty much. Just like I said before, you know, everybody thinks they know about the job and what this job entails. I thought I did too before I got placed as director, you know, and then I took the director job and I was like, holy crap, I understand Mike's frustration, you know, Rich's frustration. It's horrible, you know, absolutely horrible. Like I said, I do everything I can for this job and try to keep my crew staffed and happy and, you know, to where would you, because a good crew, you know, and which I have right now, I couldn't ever have a better crew or ask for a better crew, you know, because all of us work together. All of us are getting real tired right now, you know, because all of us are wearing multiple hats. That's the way it's always been, even out of winter, you know, and it's basically, like I said before, it's basically not a job, it's family, the way we look at it. And, you know, this, the main thing that I would like is more understanding, you know, if people's got a lot of ideas, they think they know. If they want to know, ask them. You know, come ride with us in a truck, you know, sit in front of the loaders, do whatever. When we get a water leak on the weekend or at night, come get in the ditch with us. It's not easy. Everybody thinks it's easy. Oh, anybody can do it. No, they can't.
So I'm sensing here, Jason, that the problem of the morning is an awful lot of Saturday morning quarterbacking coming your way. Are the specific issues really that you'd like addressed are personnel, additional personnel and staffing? Is that the major issue of your request this morning?
Yes, at this point in time, yes.
In your mind, how short is that? What do you think you need in the way of a staffing adjustment?
Well, right now, I'm down two roads, guys. We're in the process of filling one water position because that guy was the one that freaked out and said we've got too much snow and he quit. And then we're down a buildings and grounds guy right now. To get back to that level, we're also down two seasonals. To get back to that level would be a great move forward in the future because everything's just compounded across our whole department, regulatory wise, safety wise, everything. It'd be nice to have more staff above that down the road so we can start being more proactive instead of reactive. Reactive is, you know, like I said earlier, it's costing us more money now from being reactive for many years instead of proactive, and it shouldn't be that way.
I'm wondering if your personnel issues are kind of what's being mirrored across the nation right now. I don't believe it matters what business you're in. Everyone is having trouble having folks that want to come to work and stay and actually work. And so I'm curious, are you getting the applicants or you just don't have a lot of applicants to work with at this point?
It's a little of both. It's hard to get people to apply and want to drive up here and do the job, let alone finding quality people, you know, or people that are qualified for the job. You know, just because somebody has a CDL doesn't mean you can throw them in a plow truck right out of the gate and cut them loose. It takes weeks of planning, training. You got to run them around so they know all the hidden stuff. In this town is like a landmine. There's hidden curb and gutter. You don't know, you know, half the spring we spend trying to fix drainage. From the 2017 event when we hired the contractors to come help, we're still repairing curb and gutter and getting calls about drainage issues because a majority of it got ripped out because they didn't know where it was. It's this time consuming and frustrating, and there's a lot of folks that don't understand what's actually going on.
After the season, of course, I don't imagine you can do it during the snow events, but it sounds to me like we could benefit from a benefit analysis of all the streets and the curbs and the what's broken and where are the rocks, and maybe some time of a deep detailed analysis next year as to what we need to address in the community to to make the job easier for you to do. My hunch is, and I'll leave it with this, the nation is struggling. The nation is struggling on bringing employees to the table. And every one of us that's in industry and business are short-staffed. And so I think we're going to have to bite the bullet in the short term, figure out how to get through. But I think fixing some of these deficiencies within our streets, curbs, gutters that are causing you equipment problems, we probably should try to identify those in the coming year and see if we can't put a task force together to fix some of it. But that's all I have to share this morning. And thank you for the time.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner Gillen. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I don't have anything additional. I appreciate your comments, Chairman.
All right. Thank you again, Jason.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on to Projects Coordinator, Mike Northern. Is Mike on there today? All right. Moving right along to Story County Communications, Becky Parsons. All right. Business Development Director, Laura Mather. I thought she's done. Fair enough. Community relations, Honey Menifee. Nothing to report. And our emergency manager, where is he today? He's on a call. Awesome. All right. Doing emergency manager stuff. VCTC, Leah Cruz.
She should not be today, but Rebecca's on.
Rebecca, are you going to handle stuff for us today?
I have nothing to report.
All right. Thank you, Rebecca. Comptroller's office, Comptroller McCain.
Nothing.
Is the assessor on with us this morning?
No, sir.
All right. How about the recorder's office? Drew.
Drew is in interviews.
All right. See James here. Anything from the IT department?
Morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. A couple of things. The fiber line seems to have stabilized after a month of flapping up and down. I know we had several outages during meetings, which is embarrassing for me, but it took a bit to light a fire under AT&T. It's been stable for about 10 days now, so we think we have the issue resolved. They did some hardware replacements, excuse me, down in Dayton, and that has seemed to stabilize the issue. The customer side, the response from AT&T was extremely lacking, and we are courting Switch now to begin management of multiple fiber circuits, just from a being able to get a hold of someone and then actually have something occur within 24 or 48 hours instead of 2 to 4 weeks. It was more than 3 weeks to get someone on site. And they were more concerned about, you know, well, you might have to pay us. I'm like, if it's our fault, we'll pay you. Just come and fix it. And it was, oh, well, and I realize it's the holidays and stuff like that. But with a large organization like AT&T, it's extremely difficult to get even minor issues like billing resolved. So we're looking at potentially having Switch start managing our circuits. It'll probably still be AT&T's infrastructure, but them being a provider and a reseller, they're going to have a little bit more pull. And, you know, if I have to, I can drive down to the Switch Citadel and knock on their door and be like, hey, I need some action here versus talking to someone on the other side of the country or generally the other side of the world who is just reading from a script and unable to affect any change locally. I wanted to give my thanks to Fire and Public Works. I was up here during the storms. I couldn't get to my office because there was a 4-foot berm in front of my door. And, you know, they helped me shovel it out. They helped me clear the driveway. Fire was able to help me keep generators refilled at 3 o'clock in the morning, running extension cords. It was a real good team effort, and I really appreciate staff showing up for me when I needed them. Pulling Jason's crew off even for a minute is a big deal when everything's going crazy. And yeah, it was a 20-minute job, but you know, he was able to get me into my office, which was fantastic. So I really appreciate the teamwork there. Again, Fire, Shane, Jim Morrow, just great to have them support me, I guess, and try and keep the internet up and running and the 911 and dispatch and things like that. Communications from Becky has been excellent. Look forward to working with our new EM director. He's kind of hit the ground running already reaching out to Lyon County with concerns from the state that the propane might be out. And he's already addressing that stuff preemptively, which is great. That's all I have. Any questions?
Wonderful. Thank you, James. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for James?
No questions. Thank you, sir.
Chairman Mitchell, anything for James?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that.
Thanks, update. Commissioner.
Moving on to human resources, Mitzi.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that I fully empathize with Jason's frustrations, and HR will provide full support to his recruitment efforts.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mitzi.
You're welcome.
All right. Moving on to community development, Director Pete Bruneau.
Good morning, commissioners. No report today.
All right. Thank you, Pete.
You bet.
Nobody sees Eric showing on there. No. How about Stacy York Senior Center? No. No. I don't see Judge Harrington on there. I do see our wonderful DA next to me. Anything from the DA's office?
Nothing, Mr. Chairman.
Fair enough. County Manager Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to say much, but I just want to reiterate everything everybody's saying here for the public to know that when you have a storm event like this, every single person, every single function is involved in it. Even folks that you wouldn't think are involved in snow and flood, like the clerk treasurer trying to figure out how to hold a meeting without Zoom and working with the DA's office to make sure all the legalities are worked out for the little minute detours to make details you make sure are correct. Having an emergency declaration meeting, all those sorts of things. I just want to thank my team, and that's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks. And I saw Keith out there shoveling out front of IT. So the DA's office was helping there too. All right. Last but not least, Clerk Treasurer Hindle.
Nothing today, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
All right. Staff reports. Thank you, everybody, for your report. We will get back to our regularly scheduled agenda. Bringing us on to item number six, which are board comments, starting off with Commissioner Gilman.
Nothing to offer today. Thank you, sir.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
I don't have anything. Thank you.
All right. I don't have anything either. Moving on to item number seven, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 23-664 of the Board of Story County Commissioners declaring a state of emergency in Story County due to severe weather events causing significant accumulations of snow and precipitation, potential flooding, and extensive and reoccurring power outages caused by atmospheric river flows across the county between December 30, 2022 and February 7, 2023. The emergency declarations may provide the county access to state and federal funds and other resources which may otherwise not be available for its response to the weather emergency. This action should not cause alarm, but it should remind residents and businesses to be vigilant and prepare for storm events. County Manager Osborne.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record, County Manager. I want to remind us that there's folks here in the audience that may want to come up and speak, whether it's a fiscal matter, an IT matter, or a fire district matter, whether a fire chief, et cetera. I am speaking on behalf of our emergency management director, Mike Bullion. He is out at Lockwood right now assessing the creek and the river and some of the other area out there for upcoming storm concerns. I'll start off with what we have here is a resolution request to declare an emergency in Story County. I want to emphasize to those folks in the public, this is not really reason for alarm. It is not anything more than making sure we declare an emergency ahead of the game. So if the upcoming storm, and in addition to some of the work that we've already done in the current storms, becomes of issue, that we can have accessibility to state and federal and other resources that might become available. I do want to let you know at this time, the state of Nevada has not declared an emergency. However, Governor Lombardo has stated that his office and the state is monitoring possible resources for counties, cities, and other jurisdictions. There is daily coordination calls occurring with the emergency response team of the state of Nevada. There is constant communications with that team. And NV Energy is also called in California, Las Vegas, and Oregon resources to address power outages. And the National Guard is on standby. At any time, the state of Nevada could cause or call a state of emergency.
and that will also make available certain resources. In this case, the request is to declare an emergency for Story County. We do have a PIO in place, it's Laura Mather, and then also transitioning to Michael Bullion, our emergency management director, and we're doing our best to get messages out to the community through Facebook and other means to let folks know basic things about being prepared, the upcoming storms, and that sort of thing. We are working on a 24/7 basis, whether it's Public Works, Fire District, Sheriff's Office, Emergency Management, IT, really all of our departments, on various matters that happen, whether they're at 1 a.m. or during the normal work day. 2 o'clock today, our team is going to have a meeting to discuss going into a standby mode of an emergency operation unified command. And that would be a unified command between Story County and the Story County Fire Protection District. And at that meeting, we'll discuss what that structure might look like. And at that point, we'll go into a standby status. So if, for example, on Monday during a flood event, for example, we can immediately just call it and we would all know our roles and what to do and be able to respond to that incident. I just want to, overall, this emergency request is just an abundance of caution, not that at this time that we're going to request resources, but with the power outages, the snow, the potential flooding that's coming up, and potential pattern of storms through atmospheric rivers between now and February, that we want to be completely prepared and not have to do this step while we're trying to also respond to an incident. Emergency management wants to just remind folks in the community, just be prepared. A lot of the responses and things that fire and the sheriff have had to endure have a lot of things to do with just folks not being prepared. People need to know things like drip their faucets. If the, you know, the power is not on and they're not home, leave the water running just a little bit to keep pipes from freezing. Make sure you're stocked up on firewood and propane. That has been a real big problem. People have generators and they don't have fuel. The fire district has been out there working with folks to try to help respond to those sorts of matters. Obviously have food, of course, have toilet paper with the food. Pets, babies, and formulas and things like that, but also horses and livestock. There's a lot of folks that can't get their wells running in the highlands to get their horses watered. And of course, that is one of the big problems we're having is you got plenty of water, but it's 1,000 feet underground in a well and no electricity. So the outages, we want to remind folks that they can keep an eye on outages on the NV Energy online map. That's at nvenergy.com. It's /outage prep. We'll put that in our e-blast as well as on the social media. It's been posted and people can see about when that power is expected to come back on. And at this point, I do believe the district attorney would like me to read the resolution into the record. And then also I look to anybody else on our team if they would like to speak on what they're doing with this. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Austin?
No, sir. Thank you.
Chairman Mitchell?
I don't have any questions.
All right. I don't either. Is there any public comment regarding this item?
Sure. Jennifer McCain for the record, Story County Comptroller. Good morning. I just want to let the commission know and everybody here that approving this resolution, emergency declaration, gives us an avenue to use our emergency fund, which is set up for situations specifically like this. For example, if we do have a flood in Lockwood and the sandbags we don't have, are, that we do have are not enough, they're not budgeted for, it gives us an avenue to not worry about going to purchase them. The emergency management fund is just a blanket avenue for these kind of situations. As well, any money that we might expect to receive from the state or federal government should the emergency go past our little county, they're not always right on top of reimbursing. And it would mean that if Public Works had to go purchase said sandbags, his department would have to wait possibly a year to be reimbursed. The emergency fund is set up to wait that year and it wouldn't have to put any stress on his budget. So I just wanted to let you know that that's a fiscal avenue of approving this.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? All All right. Not seeing any other public comment. Would you like to read that resolution?
Thank you. All right, this is a declaration of emergency. It's a lot to read, so I'll just read it. Whereas Story County has suffered a series of extreme weather events in the months of December and January, beginning December 30, 2022, and which the current weather forecast is believed to extend through February 7, 2023, resulting in significant accumulations of snow and precipitation due to atmospheric river flows and reoccurring and extensive power outages caused by these weather events across Story County and the Northern Nevada region. And whereas these weather events have resulted in damage to roadways, culverts, drainages, facilities, bridges, communications facilities, county property and equipment, and to real and personal property. And whereas these conditions have prompted emergency response to protect and preserve lives in public and private properties in and around the county. And whereas all of these circumstances severely tax the county's emergency response resources, including fire, medical, roads, maintenance, and sheriff's personnel. Now, therefore, it is hereby declared that a state of emergency exists in Story County, and Story County Emergency Management Director Mike Bullion is authorized to take whatever actions are necessary to prevent further loss of property and injury to or loss of life that may be appropriate and available, including requesting assistance from the state of Nevada. Dated the 6th January 2023 at the hour that you approve this. Before I stop, hold on one moment, please. And so there is more to the resolution I'm going to continue with. It is the summary of it. Whereas Story County is a political subdivision of the state of Nevada, and whereas beginning on or about December 30, 2022, and in according to the current forecast, lasting through February 7, 2023, atmospheric rivers have caused and will continue to cause a series of severe storms to impact much of northern Nevada, including Story County. Whereas as a result of the storms, damage was done to roadways, culverts, bridges, communications facilities, and real and personal property within Story County. Whereas as a result, Story County manpower resources have been and now are stretched to their limits, and assistance to respond to emergencies may be necessary with anticipated continued atmospheric river activity to Story County by other jurisdictions. Whereas the health and safety and welfare of persons and property in Story County and where and may continue to be endangered due to the storm events. And whereas on the 6th day of January 2023, Story County Manager Austin Osborne and Story County Emergency Management Director Mike Bullion requested that the Board of County Commissioners in a duly noticed open public meeting of the board declare that an emergency exists during the course of the storm events, which request was unanimously approved by the board. And whereas the state of Nevada and the United States government have manpower and resources which may be available to Story County and its residents, now and therefore, the county commissioners of Story County do resolve as follows to wit. One, that the Story County Board of Commissioners under and by virtue authority vested by them in chapters 244 and 414 of the Nevada Revised Statutes does hereby declare that a disaster area and state of emergency exists within the county of Story and that all local resources were used to respond to, recover from, and mitigate the effects of the emergency caused by the storm events. That the Story County Commissioners do hereby request that the governor of the state of Nevada investigate the emergency existing in Story County and that declare a disaster area and state of emergency exists in Story County. And that the Story County Commissioners do hereby request that the governor of the state of Nevada provide assistance, equipment, and manpower from the appropriate state agencies, including the Nevada Division of Emergency Management and the Nevada Department of Transportation and other agencies needed to address disaster. And that Story County Commissioners do hereby request that the governor of the state of Nevada contact the Nevada Congressional Delegation in Washington, D.C. to solicit their their assistance in gaining federal aid for Story County or Story County Commissioners. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. With that said, Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Sure. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 23-664 of the Board of Story County Commissioners declaring a state of emergency in Story County due to severe weather events causing significant accumulations of snow and precipitation, potential flooding, and extensive and recurring power outages caused by atmospheric river flows across the county between December 30th, 2022 and February 7th, 2023.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin. Moving on to item number 8, discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval to confirm proceeding with the purchase of a commercial scale LaRue D45 compact loader snowblower in the amount not to exceed $195,906.25 to respond to substantial snow accumulation due to the atmospheric river conditions under minimal staffing conditions and with recent damage to two existing snowplow trucks and to provide more efficient and thorough snow removal each winter season across the county henceforth. Austin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Husband, for the record. I want to remind us that Jennifer McCain, our comptroller, is here. She may have some fiscal items that she wants to go over with you. Our Public Works Director, Jason Wisberke, is behind me. I'm going to let him discuss some of the operations management elements of this. I'll kind of just give you an introduction of what's being proposed. And then, of course, we have other folks here that might have interest in this and want to discuss it. The introduction to Public Works has been a 24-hour response in one form or another during a portion of the time of emergency specified in the prior agenda item. During that time, as Jason Wisberke has explained, there has been at least at one time or another one buildings and grounds persons down, two roads people down, two seasonals down, and one water person has been down, in addition to two plows that have been damaged and one plow that had engine disability and or other equipment needs. In this case, Jason Wisberke has come to us with a request to look at a commercial scale D45 snowblower that sits on the front of a machine. I'll let him describe the piece of apparatus and what that would do in order to provide snow response for the upcoming storms that are anticipated with these equipment limitations. I want to add on here that what is being proposed here is actually proposed by the Public Works Director earlier than the storm to be discussed for the upcoming budget. It is a purchase that would be a long-term benefit to the residents and businesses of the county, not just in response to what we have here. Really is to address all of the issues the above is the purpose of this, to provide life safety response, address residents and business needs, relieve pressure for full-time equivalent of the Public Works Department, and provide, of course, critical resources under a situation of emergency. And then the long-term benefits I discussed. The cost is $195,906. And again, those folks that are fiscal and operations are here with me, and I certainly welcome their discussion.
Thank you.
Chairman, Commissioners, Jason Wisberke, Public Works Director, for the record. What this unit does is what they've been doing around the lake, Tahoe, any mountain area, you know, Portola has one, for a long time. This unit goes on the front of a loader and it can fire snow up to 80 feet away. We can pace a dump truck, load directly into the dump truck instead of having the road grader pull everything out and then two loaders going nose to nose, driving a block or two down to another dump truck because our streets are so narrow. This will allow us to free up a couple of other guys to work on other tasks, potentially. This unit, I've forwarded videos to Austin and commissioners of the unit in operation. But, you know, there's just a lot of benefits with this unit. Theoretically, we shouldn't be ripping out curb and gutter anymore. And, you know, it'll just allow us to widen our streets a lot easier and better, safer, more efficiently. It can also be used. We could also team up with NDOT. Many years ago, when I first started, NDOT used to have a big drive behind snowblower here, and they would work with Public Works, pull everything out, and then fire it into dump trucks, and we'd haul it off. So this would allow us to get back to that because NDOT staffing is just as bad as our staffing, but that would just give us a better resource up on the hill for the C Street corridor as well. I'm available for more questions if you have any.
I'll save mine. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jason?
I'm curious about the training they'll have to go in prior to using the unit. Is it going to require some special educational and training, or will you be able to implement it rather quickly once it arrives?
Once it arrives, it's be direct shipped from the Quebec, Canada manufacturer straight to us. We mount it on the loader, stick the control panel on the board, and go. There is no specialized training for it. It's the training behind that is almost as much as buying a snowblower from Home Depot and getting it out in your driveway. There's no specialized training behind this unit.
Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell. What's our expected time frame on receiving it from the manufacturer?
7 to 10 days.
Great. Thank you.
So a couple questions I have. How many guys do you run to get the same job done?
Everybody.
So
about five or six guys.
And with this unit, you're going to be down to two?
Two, possibly three.
Three?
Two dump trucks and a snowblower.
Nice. And you'll be able to hit basically every street in town, even the steep ones, you think? Awesome.
Yeah, we throw chains on the loaders and just go for it.
Yeah, I actually
chain up our dump trucks as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I made a similar purchase to for the HOA several years back, and I have found it to be extremely useful. We don't throw it into a truck, but we decided instead of just plowing, you know, pushing the snow, we actually blow it off the roads. And it's as far as the HOA is concerned, it was a very sound purchase. So obviously, I'm a big fan. And then saving manpower too, I think is going to be fantastic. I'm just looking at some photos. I think it's going to be a great unit, probably pretty hassle-free too. I did buy a bunch of extra shear pins, I will tell you. I did blow through my first three shear pins this season. So, but other than that, I'm excited. I think it's going to do a great job for the town. And, you know, I think it'll definitely take some stress off you guys. So, look forward to seeing it in action. That's all I got.
Anybody interested, they can go on YouTube and type in LaRue D45 loader mounted snowblower, and there's multiple videos on it, so they can see the actual unit in action, loading into trucks. So have you.
Nice. Yeah, like I said, I think it's a fantastic purchase, and I'm sure it's going to improve our snow removal incredibly in town. So anyway. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Are you a resident or are you the comptroller?
I'm a comptroller.
All right.
Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller, for the record. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't come to you and tell you that this is an unbudgeted purchase of $196,000 approximately. When Austin called me requesting to see if we had this money, I can find it. I can make this happen, but you do need to know it is unbudgeted, and you will be presented with an augmentation or a transfer in June of $196,000 from somewhere else. So something will be shorted. Okay.
It's all right.
Okay.
I think Vice Chairman Mitchell gave up his gas card. So.
I never received a gas card, so you can have it.
You heard that, right? He gave up his gas card. Awesome. And we're going to talk about the helicopter. But anyway, thank you. Any other public comment?
Mr. Chairman, while you're on public comment, I'll just let you know there is correspondence. I'll be able to handle with you as you want. Thank you.
Okay. Would you like to read that correspondence? Or?
If you're ready.
Yeah.
Okay. My understanding is a letter was sent in to the county commissioners on or about today on January 6th. It says, "Hi, Jay, Clay, and Lance. This letter is from Nick Fain of Virginia City. I just saw that you were having a meeting about the snow today, and it got me thinking about some ideas. Why doesn't Story County use subcontractors and or seasonal on-call labor for snow removal during heavy storms or holidays when staffing is tough?" There's one. Hold on. "I'll gladly be a seasonal on-call employee in the winter to shovel, snowblow, or operate the smaller equipment, skid steer, normal truck with blader attachment, etc., so the public works staff with CDLs can be doing all the big rig or big plow equipment. These seasonal employees can do the overnight shift, so the regular employees can work during the normal hours.
In addition, you could have local companies with equipment, Ryan's Rock and Hill, Collins, has Senior, et cetera, ready as subcontractors. So you instantly have access to more machines and labor to back up the public works department. When people like me, wants to help, can be ready to work for those companies, and or I could just bill the county from one of my businesses as well. It does not seem that the county department to get the subcontractors when it makes more financial sense to outsource when an extraordinary issue arises, but not for snow. Mike Nevin is on call for his knowledge of the water system, attorneys ready for large cases, outside appraisers for hard to value tri-parcels, lifeguards that only work in the summer, et cetera. I think that Laurel D45 compact snowblower is a great county purchase, but adding more large plows or loaders, graders that would just sit for all year doesn't make sense when you can just access to the ones that we have in town. When we do have heavy snow events, the extra labor could help keep the berms in access for all of our residents, which will keep them from constantly complaining to you about county offices. I know that Story County can't do private property, but with more people, we could take an extra 30 seconds and make sure the residents' access is not too much for them to handle. I make sure the IT and Justice Court have access over the weekend because I saw how shorthanded everybody was and they were working with weekends as well. Just some thoughts I have had when I read agendas for today or read the agenda for today. When I was a kid up here, the snow removal was not much of an issue, but we had way more residents now, and the size of public works has had not had the same growth. Thanks for your time, Nick Fain.
Thank you. Have we put out job postings for part-time winter work?
Under investigation this morning, the two seasonal positions was not posted. I contacted Mitzi and Brandy, and they were supposed to go out immediately.
Okay. But
when they were open a few months ago, we didn't have any applicants for several months.
Okay. And we've done it in the past too, like past winters we put it
out. Yeah, the county's always had seasonals in the past, but in the past everybody was more willing to work.
Did we have takers last year, do you recall?
What's that?
Did we have takers last year for seasonal work?
We had Mike Nevin and Bill Evans, you know.
They did? Okay. Yeah. All right. So at least we did have some interest.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's that? Yeah, Dave Cole he's been gone a couple of years now, but okay. He was a kind of a full-time but part-time person.
But no takers when we had it posted a couple months ago?
Unfortunately, no.
Okay.
And it's like Lance stated, it's something that not only our department is experiencing, but everywhere across the board.
Right.
And then, like I said, when we do end up getting somebody, it's, you know, unfortunately, it's not what we actually need help-wise.
Right. All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah.
Not sure how you want to handle it. There's a question in the chat, which is asking from the TCO, although I'll take this as a public comment as opposed to staff comment. Is there a reason our roads, specifically C Street, are not brined, salted, or stamped? That can be handled offline with public works, or if you want to handle it here?
No, it's aired out now.
The snow blower.
Yeah, we're a little off.
So is that a public comment?
To address a brine situation, brine doesn't work when the storm comes in warm and wet. It just dilutes it all and pushes it down the drain. We used to have a brine system up here in the F-450 plow, but we keep a sander in it now because we're down trucks. And we do brine out at the tri-park. But like I said, when the storms come in warm and wet, it's pointless. We still do it, but...
But to keep it on the... I understand what they're trying to say, but in reality, it's NDOT's responsibility, right?
The main highways, yes.
All right, so we can get it over to NDOT and have them answer, Rebecca. Yeah.
But as far as our roads go, that's the reason.
That's why we don't do ours. All right, so back on track. Sorry, my bad. Jennifer?
Jennifer McCain, for the record. The resolution that you just approved gives us an avenue to hire contractors. during these events when Public Works needs help. However, I believe it's FEMA's recommendation, and hopefully our new emergency manager can help us set this up, is that we have contracts and set prices with them before we get to this kind of an event. So when we call Collins to have him help with snow removal or whatever the emergency is, we already know how much it's going to cost us. Rather than, unfortunately, I'm not saying Collins would, but there are the contractors out there who see that we're in a bind and decide to overcharge. So the resolution gives us an avenue for that, but on the other side, we're not currently set up according to the guidelines that the federal government's given us to use those. Okay. Not saying we can't.
Yeah, thanks. So we're still back on the D45 thing.
Yeah.
So thanks. You took me back off track again, Jennifer.
Yeah,
thanks. All right, so back onto the D45.
And Mr. Commissioners, in addressing the question too about independent contractors, I was given this just a discussion point at $180 an hour, which is a sometimes a common price for that kind of equipment. The amount of storm activity that we had, it could have been easily just a minimum of $18,000 just for one person to go out and move some snow around during this event. It can be a bit costly, but again, like Comptroller McCain said, we can establish these schedules if something like that's appropriate. Jason has something he wants to share as well as actually working in the field.
Are we
going to
have you heard the resolution approved?
No.
Okay, let's approve the resolution for the D45 and we can get back to the whole extra hands on deck later. Call a special meeting for that.
In this case, Mr. Commissioners, there is a proposed motion. This is not, do you need something?
Can you let Laura?
Oh.
Laura Mather?
She should be in.
She's in.
Oh, maybe that was a while ago. So there is a proposed resolution.
There is not a resolution for this one. This is just a confirmation or concurrence of the purchase of this piece of equipment to get the purchase and the delivery moving as quickly as possible to try to be responsive to the next storm event. There is a motion in here prepared for you if you'd like to entertain that motion.
Okay.
Before I make that motion, just from a procedural perspective, you know, as the do not to exceed amount, do we have any concern about a rounding error or something that's going to put us sideways on that?
It's all been bought.
Director Visberg, you're saying it's all taken care of?
It's excellent.
Okay, great.
It's good to go.
I look to Comptroller McCain, though, however, if you have any, that is a good question. If you think just from past practice and things, rounding it up just in case of some type of a thing, that would be appropriate. Otherwise, the motion we think is okay as it is. Come on up.
I don't know if we can do that the way that it's agendized.
Jennifer McCain for the record. Personally, using the exact amount to me is a little bit constraining for us. On recommendation of Keith, if we use words like approximately and not to exceed, kind of have about a $5,000 back and forth window that we don't have to come back and ask for permission. So that would be my recommendation. So round it up and say approximately. I think we're better off.
Well, since it's not written like that, we're going to stick with the not to exceed, and then if there is an issue later, we'll figure it out.
Later.
So procedurally, stick with the not to exceed.
Yeah.
And with Comptroller McCain, I do understand from the DA's office that even the not to exceed, that there was a little bit of variance in that, just like was described by Comptroller McCain. Are you okay with that, Ms. DA?
Yes, okay. We're going to use not to exceed language, and it sounds like either way, approximately or not to exceed, there is a little bit of a variation. If some additional charges there that doesn't exceed $5,000, is that what you are aware of under this type of language? Yes. Okay.
So that does not necessarily need to be reflected in the motion. The motion can be not to exceed and the exact amount. And then if there's, I guess in the future, I think the motion that I would feel more comfortable with is a expected to be, and we can put the actual amount and then put a not to exceed that pads it.
Right.
And that way it's agendized without us putting wiggle room in a way where wiggle room is already built in.
Correct.
I agree. So the next time, as you're saying, the
$5,000 that is everybody's talking about today needs to be reflected in the actual number. So instead of the $195,906, it would be $200,906. So it's just reflective actually in the amount. And hopefully this time, that's exactly how much it costs and it won't exceed it.
I'll make the motion exactly as it's written. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to confirm proceeding with purchase of commercial scale LaRue D45 compact loader snowblower in the amount not to exceed $195,906.25 to respond to substantial snow accumulation due to atmospheric river conditions under minimal staffing conditions and with recent damage to two existing snowplow trucks, and to provide more efficient and thorough snow removal each winter season across the county henceforth.
You're on mute, Lance.
Thank you. I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, everybody. Moving on to item number 9 is public comment. Is there any public comment at this time regarding anything that is not on the agenda today? Not seeing any public comment, we're going to move to item number 10, which is adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 10:58. This meeting is adjourned.